To this text is James chapter 1 verses 2 through 4. Shall we read all together? Yeah, I think that would be better. I want you to be participating. Consider it. Amen. Let me drink some water. I have a privilege to drink this special water. Thank you. I never seen Pastor Wade, so I'm afraid. How old is this? Anyway, I hope it's very clean water. Thank you. Good evening. It seems we are not very happy today. As the topic is very critical. And the book of James, we cannot address all the... That's why I left verse 1. We cannot address all the searching questions about the historical context of this book. This book is a very special book in a critical way. It had been under attack even from great reformers like Martin Luther. So we can't address all those questions like who was James, since there were many James, and whatever you believe, I believe that you believe that James was a person inspired by God and the Holy Spirit and who wrote this book. So we can't address this issue. Also, we cannot address another question, that is, what kind of man was he, and to whom did James write? In verse 1, we can see his address is to the 12 tribes. There has been a lot of struggle between scholars. There is since he is addressing his favorite address to the audience is brother or my brother or my dear brother. So we believe that they are believing people, whether they are from a Jewish background or if they are Gentiles. So we cannot answer at this time because I'm given very short time. But we have to ask this question: why did James write his book, this epistle? Why did James write this epistle? That's important. If we look at the larger context, I mean the book context, which suggests that people were having different troubles, problems in their personal life and also in the church. I will just indicate several of those problems from the broader context of the book. For example, in chapter 1, verse 2, we can see he's saying to the people, they were going through the difficult trials. What kind of trials were they? The book context tells us they can be that can be poverty, socio-economical, and religious persecution as well. So those problems were there. Second, they were facing temptation to sin. If we see chapter 1, verse 15, so we can assume that they must be facing also temptation to the sin. Also, they were only hearers, not doers. Chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. some were catering to the rich, others were oppressed by the rich. Chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. And some were competing for positions in the church. Chapter 3, verse 1. And also, there was a problem about the improper use of tongue, as well as worldliness. Chapter 3, verses 2 through 12. Also, so in this context, can say some were drifting from the faith. So, Church of Corinth was not the only critical church that was having a critical problem. Every church has her own drawbacks. You may think, not Reformed Church, but since true believers are justified sinners, so every church can have a problem. So we should think about that. The book of James is sometimes called the Proverbs of the New Testament. Like Proverbs, the book deals with life, wisdom, and the practice of our faith. The Epistle of James is with more imperatives than any other New Testament book. It has about 54 imperatives. There are today's text, there would be a first imperative which we are going to focus on. Consider it. So the first imperative is it's the most challenging in the entire letter. James begins with the theme of trials and joy, which is our subject today. I don't know very much Spanish, but I heard somewhere, I read, there's a Spanish proverb, there is no home without a hush. I don't know, Seth or many other Spanish-speaking people, they know that proverb. Sooner or later, every home knows heartache and trial and sorrow. Even individuals do too. But God's word says that these tears can be turned into joy. There are only three kinds of people in this world. Those in the middle of trials, and those just coming out of trials, and those who are about to go into a trial. Trials and temptation come to all. This is not a sign that something is wrong with you, though of course there can be consequences of trials. Trials can be consequences of our mistakes, but according to today's text, this is not a sign that something is wrong with you. And how do we know this fact that trials and temptations come to everyone? Nobody can escape from them, because they also came to our dear, loving Lord Jesus Christ. The Epistle of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 15, it reads, "For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every aspect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." In our today's study, we will be focusing on four significant points of our trials. The first would be the fact of trial from our text. What are the fact of trials in Christian life? Verse 2. Let's read all together. I'm sorry, I have my new NIV Bible, so I wish you read together, verse 4 together. Please speak aloud. Don't be very charismatic, but speak aloud. Yeah. Consider. Yeah, just two. Thank you very much. I'm sorry bothering you. Well, note in this verse, it's not if, but when or whenever you fall or whenever you meet trials. A Christian should expect trials, oppressions, misunderstanding, and rejection. If anybody tries to teach that Christian life is all life is sunlight or roses, they are teaching from empty head and from a closed Bible. The Bible doesn't say that you might fall into temptation or trials. It says you will. The Greek word here, pirasmos, translated trial, and there are its verbal cognate found in verses 2, chapter 1, verses 2, 12, 13, and 14. These words have two distinct meanings in the New Testament. They can stand for outward trials or process of testing. For example, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." So the word, Greek word, stands for, first of all, outward trials or process of testing. Or it can stand for inner enticement to sin, temptation, like 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, and also this word can be a combination of these two kinds of meaning, and it's very well present in very immediate context of today's text. Chapter 1, James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. So the Greek word, which we have today for trials, it has a different and distinctive meaning. It stands for outward trials. It stands for inner enticement to the sin, and there's also combination of these two distinct meanings. So you can find that in the immediate context of today's text. In today's text, the Greek word carries the idea of all of a sudden finding yourself surrounded by unexpected difficulties. So in today's text, we don't expect. So there's a very good example in the Gospels, Luke 10, the story of the Good Samaritan. The man was walking along the road from Jerusalem, and he fell among the thieves. He wasn't looking for thieves, or also we don't, but it happens. He didn't want to be robbed, but these thieves were waiting in hiding for a surprise attack. So the Greek word carries the idea of surprise attack. All of a sudden, you are finding yourself surrounded by unexpected difficulties. That's what James is saying in this specific text. You don't go looking for troubles. I don't know, but I don't go. But I meet trouble. Everyone. They will come to you, and often when you least expect them. The problems, temptations, trials will come to you, even though you are not eagerly searching. These days I'm very eagerly searching for a job, but it doesn't happen. Not like that, but troubles come. And especially they come when you are least expecting. Your next phone call may be the greatest trial of your life. Somebody on the other end will tell you something that you are not prepared for. So it's unexpected. There's no time frame for that. There's no fixed time for that. There's no season for troubles and trials. Yeah, of course, some people may be allergic, so for them maybe spring can be a trial time as a trouble time. Maybe some people, if you go to my country in summer, maybe that would be a trial for you, a trouble for you, because it's very hot there. But James is not talking that kind of trials and troubles. They include, we have to overcome. Even the greatest characters of the Bible could not escape from them. I'll mention just a few of them. Job, you know very well. I don't know Job, but I know Job these days very well. Job was a blameless, upright man who feared God and turned away from evil. Yet, in one day, he lost everything from family to finances to fortune to fitness and to friends. All of a sudden, he did not expect. His family didn't expect. Even we don't expect. We don't want it may happen to anybody. Daniel was a man totally committed to God, and you know he was a man of prayer. He prayed 3 times a day to the Lord. All he got for his praying, you know what? A free trip to Lion's Den. Joseph was a man of unquestioned integrity, graciousness, loyalty, and purity, who was thrown into prison for a crime he did not commit. And Paul, the great missionary, the greatest Christian. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27, he listed all the trials he suffered for Christ. So I wonder, the social gospel preachers who promise trouble-free life, trouble-free Christian life, trial-free Christian life, trial-free life, are liar according to the scripture, and they distort the true gospel of Christ. according to Paul, which is another gospel. So that is a reality and fact. It comes to not to just non-Christians, it comes to trials come to everyone, and we should expect that. And what should be our attitude toward trials, we will be learning. Again, we will read verse 2, and we will see our next point, form of trials. We have looked at the effect of trials in Christian life, and now we will see the form of trials. And I would be very happy if you will read it again all together. Let's start. Amen. I know now you, since you are reading it second time or third time, now you understand better this verse. I hope. Another fact of trials is that they are not only unavoidable, but they are diverse. They are in different, in many kinds. So that's why the different translations I checked with NKJV, New King James Version, ESV, and RSV, they say various trial. NIV, in NIV, we find many kinds of trials. Whenever you face trials of many kinds. And ESV renders, when you fall into manifold temptations. So in this verse 2, we find another fact that trials are not only unavoidable, they are many kinds of, there are many kinds of trials. This is a Greek word we get. I'm sure you are very familiar with this word. A Greek word we get a polka dot from. The word, you know, polka dot. And this is the word comes from the Greek root. Life is dotted with trials. This word means multicolored, multi-sized. Trials comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. That's what the text points. Whenever you face trials of many kind, in NIV, various kinds, manifold. So trials are not specific. They don't have specific brand or special only one kind of trials. There can be different kinds of trials. Everybody can face quietly different type of trials. There could be common trials as well. There may be affliction, sorrow, sickness, physical trials, financial trials, psychological trials, and spiritual trials as well. There are various kinds of test and temptation, as we have seen in our text. But the Greek word for both trials and temptation is the same. That's why we must look at the context of this text. So it's used, as I mentioned earlier, in verse 2 and 12, 13 and 14. Can be trials is a test by God. A temptation can be a temptation, a test by Satan, but in today's text, it's not by Satan. James is pointing specifically in verses 2-4. Trials are given by God to help us learn how to steadfast. Temptations are given by Satan to cause us to stumble. That's why Peter was encouraging the Christians. Again, I will read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Dear friend, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. It has been happening in different forms to the early church throughout the ages, and it's happening today, and we should expect it. That is a fact. Trial has different forms, and it comes in different shapes, different colors. The third point, we will go on. Again, we will read verse 2. The fact of trial is a reality. It comes in different shapes, colors, whatever. That is also a reality. But what James is encouraging us, count it all joy. Count it all joy, my brother, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Is anybody here who really delights in trials? Maybe you are reformed, so you can do that. I don't know. James was not a sadomasochist who delighted in being hurt. He wasn't, and thanks Lord, we are not too. He was not saying that you should enjoy trials, or that trials are here for a joy. The joy James has in mind, of course, cannot be an emotion, cannot be an emotion. Because, as I mentioned earlier, the book of James is the book of imperatives. We can find those a lot of imperatives in Paul's letters as well, other portion of the scripture, but it has more imperatives than any New Testament book. So James is not here saying that he has in mind the joy that is an emotion, because emotion cannot be commanded. Instead, it must refer to a deeply seated contentment that we can choose to adopt, being born from the conviction that God is working for our good in the difficult circumstances. So he was not a kind of person who really liked trials. The fact that James uses the verb consider and know in verses 2 and 3. Shall we read verse 3 again? Verse 3. So in verse 2, the word consider, that which is imperative, and in verse 3, the word know, they demonstrate further that he's talking about a mindset rather than a feeling. Greek word for considerate, hegemai. I know there are many Greek scholars here. Is a word that literally means to lead, to look forward, to look ahead. We are to look ahead. When he's saying consider it real, pure joy, he means look ahead to what will be accomplished when we have overcome on the basis of victory of Jesus Christ. Christ looked ahead of the cross. He was not looking on the cross. He didn't love the cross. That was not only, of course, in one sense, only goal, but he was looking ahead of the cross. And so the lives that would be changed, the homes that would be saved, the good work that we've done in his name, and how all this would glorify his Father. That's what he was looking ahead. So the word here, consider, it means not just think about, just note that. It means to lead, to look ahead, look beyond those trials, and look ahead to the goal or fruit. So we should have the same mindset or attitude toward trials as Jesus had. And as we have read in Hebrews, that he has been tempted in every aspect like us. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ. And from verses 6 through 11, Philippians chapter 2, there is a description of his attitude, I mean Christ's attitude. We are commanded to take up our cross. So the joy James was mentioned was a active attitude toward trials or temptations, problems. Thirdly, the fruit of trials. Again, in verse 3, I will not ask you to read because I'm running out of time. But again, I believe Pastor Wade is very generous. Knowing that the trying or testing of your faith, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. The purpose of test is twofold. Test reveals your strength of your knowledge, and they measure the weakness of your knowledge. Teaching on a trial in the life, which is specially found in Epistle of Hebrews, chapter 12, focuses on trials as, first, it is a proof of our parent-child relationship with God when we are tested, if we read carefully the Hebrews chapter 12. It is a proof of our parent-child relationship with God. It means it has a covenantal aspect. Trials has covenantal aspect. Secondly, The discipline is necessary for walking in the way of faith. Thirdly, God proves the genuineness of the faith in His servant. That's what Hebrews 12 focuses on. Fourth, the true pattern of service that must be kept in view of faith in the service of Jesus Himself, who, it's written in Hebrews 12:2, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Like Jesus, every servant of Christ should bear up under trial as the proving of his or her identity as a true child of God. The proof of serving, suffering trials is important from God's perspective. It's very important from God's perspective. The proof of suffering trials. If we can understand God's perspective. Why? Because it will provide threefold witness. First, to God. It witness to God. I will talk a little bit more about this aspect. It witness to believers and to the world. God's interest in witness of Himself can be seen in the testing of Abraham. When in Genesis chapter 22 verse 12 it's written, "Now I know you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." God's personal interest in the witness of Himself. So, through the trials and suffering, from God's perspective, it can be witness. It has a threefold witness. You may think, because you come to church every Sunday, sing praises, give money, take notes, as Presbyterians are very expert in that, and walk spiritually or piously, that your faith is strong because you are very regular, but only trouble will tell. Trial will tell. You see, faith not only must stand the test of time, it must stand the test of trouble. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. The testing is also the word that refers to the refining of gold. Gold is sent through scorching fire, but it has nothing to fear because the fire simply burns off all the impurities and all the dross. Peter H. David, so one of our scholars, I got a book from the Pastor David, thank you for helping me. He writes, "The process of testing faith is like the tempering of steel. The heat, rather than destroying the steel, makes the steel more stronger. The process is difficult, but the result is good." That's the result James is looking, wants to look or find in his audience. James also assumes a good result when he writes in verse 3, the testing of your faith produces endurance, steadfastness. So he is also assuming that good result. So how can you get that good result? In verse 4. Let patience have its perfect work. To truly turn trials into joy, we must let patience do its work. That's what in verse 4 James is saying. The word perfect doesn't mean sinless. We don't believe. We believe in a lifelong process of sanctification. We don't believe in entire sanctification. So the word perfect here, it doesn't mean sinlessness. In the New Testament, it is used for those, the word perfect, it is used for those who have attained to spiritual manhood in Christ and have reached full maturity and understanding in spiritual matters. The word James is using, and in the entire New Testament teaching, it is used for those who are mature in Christ, understanding the spiritual matters, are no longer babies and immature person in Christ. That is the goal of James, and that should be our goal. Such maturity comes only when patience has had time to work. If we give patience time to work, to complete the work. Consider, for example, an endurance runner in his training, athletes or somebody else. Maybe Pastor Wade is a good athlete, but I can't. I have big trouble with my ankles while I was in Korea. I liked playing badminton. I was playing with my student. I was teaching one of Deacon's son. My both ankles had sprain, and still it pains. It's been about 7-8 years because I didn't have medical insurance at that time, so I could not go to hospital for a proper treatment. So it still pains. But athletes like you people, an endurance runner in his training. To be a mature runner requires letting patience do its work. That's patiently running mile after mile in training, bearing and trials, even in difficulties, looking ahead of the toward the your goal. If we wish to run the race well, not spiritually speaking, we need to develop patience, which comes only through a form of spiritual. I'm not mystic. I don't believe in mysticism. There are so many mystics in our country as well. The areas I go there. But the endurance comes only through a form of spiritual resistance training. In Korea, there are many. Korea is very famous for Pastor Jean Menno. They have prayer mountains. There, they have make small cabins there, and they go for prayers. And when there is a trial, they go to God and pray and fast. And though it has become very mechanic today, which is not good, which is not, which is improper. I mean, but the very beginning, its beginning was really historically, they did really well in spiritual training. Still, there are good teachers today. I'm not talking about kind of mechanical training and teaching, but for endurance, we need kind of training and through the Word of God, through our prayers and through our fellowship, and there are many means of kind of spiritual training. So, James' purpose, how can it be fulfilled? Trials in which our faith is put to the test. So, he wants us to consider it joy when there are trials. You may think you are American, so you are, and maybe words can think, the third word can think you are American and you don't have any trials, there's everything in abundance, and of course there are many good resources, but I wonder, do you go through trials or temptations? As we have studied, every Christian, we should expect more than any other prosperity gospel teachers, and we should let the patience work in us. So I encourage you, like me, actually the Word of God encourages us to count it all joy, though those words joy and trials seems very opposing and contradictory word, but from God's perspective, they are very, very important word. God may bless you. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we are thankful for this evening, your holy day. You have brought us together that we may worship you, praise you, exalt your name on high. And your word is a lamp and light to our feet and path. Thank you for giving us such instructions that we may stand fast, and when there's any type of trials, and we believe that in our congregation and in this country and Christian throughout the world are facing so many types of trials. Help us, empower us, that we may endure those trials and show the true identity of your child. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.